that created electricity and created all the other things. They knew the benefit that would be received by you and me. They really did. Yeah, they received some element as a result, but the real benefit was the fact of the service they rendered to humanity. So what they really accomplished for you and me and what we really enjoy as a result of that today. You see, servant. And he's referred to that many times in the context of Scripture. Now think about it. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who went to the cross and died on your behalf and my behalf and the aspects of it. And yet he himself declares the element of the ministry. He said, I did not come to do my work. I came to do the work of him who sent me. He came to serve the Father, even though the element of that element of his nature is that he humbled himself in the aspect of becoming that quality of servant that he was. But he did it for your benefit and for mine. Jesus made it plain when he declared this word. His declaration is, for even though the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. And so the aspect of design that Jesus knew in and of himself, he did not come here to be served. He came here to serve his creation, you, me, those who knew him. And then he also declared, and you know that Paul said in the book of Acts, Jesus said it's more blessed to what? To give than it is to receive. And the aspect of that, he came down here for one purpose, and that was to fulfill the will of his Father. God sent him down here to do a work of service, a ministry, and he accomplished that. He gave his life as a ransom for all peoples from here to eternity. But he also gave a very clear pattern for that. A clear pattern, if you will, for that work and ministry of service. In John chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, Jesus talks and gives to us a pattern of the ministry of service. He does. He gives us a pattern. He says very clearly in that context, he says, he who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. What did he say? He said that in order for you and I to understand the basis of being in this work of service, we have to hate our lives, not love it. Isn't that what he said? How many people, even within the church today, all they live for is themselves? Our purpose in our lives as individual parts at this Labor Day is that we are in a ministry and we are into a work of labor, and we're to be doing this labor as a given context. And the only way that's going to happen is that you hate your life, you're not interested in your life, you're not investing things into your life, you're here for one purpose as Jesus was, and that is to do the work of God. The work of God that Jesus himself put and gave to the church. There's only one living organism that can accomplish the purpose of God, and that's the body of Christ over which he is the head. And if you and I as individual members of the body are not serving one another, ministering to one another, building up one another in love, that work will never be done. It will never be done. In Luke 22, verses 24-27, Jesus talks about the fact, the Scriptures refers to a dissension that had been created and was building up beside and inside the disciples. And they were arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom when it came, okay? And as Jesus then hears and knows, of course, their hearts, he says to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it will not be this way with you. It will not be this way with you. But the one who is and will become But the one who is the greatest among you must, you hear that word, must become like the youngest and the leader like the servant. So who is the greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? In our human estimation, wouldn't we think that the one who is reclining and being served has to be the greatest? But Jesus concludes and says, but I am among you as one who serves. I am among you as one who serves. So there's no question in mind that Jesus understood the principle of life. What life is all about is not serving ourselves, is not beneficial to ourselves, it's that we are here to serve the Creator, the God who made us, the God who indeed installed with us. I believe we should have the same basic heart that Jesus did. And if we're going to follow his example that he gave to us to follow, then we would then desire to become servants, working in a ministry for God together, accomplishing his will and his purpose, to his glory and to ours. There are no VIPs in the kingdom of God. There's only one indispensable person within the church of the kingdom, and that's the head, that's Jesus Christ himself. And you and I ought to counter the glorious privilege to be a part of the body of Christ over which he is the head, that he died for and someday is coming for. And there ought to be a heartbeat in each one of us to be an active part of that body, causing the body to grow and to mature and to develop. And it is an interacting of each individual part of the body, meeting the needs of the rest of the body, building itself up in the aspect of love, even as Jesus manifested. Because in Galatians 5:13 it says, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. That which is not of love has got to come to a point of understanding that you and I have been called not only to love God, but to love our neighbor, to love our fellow members of the body of Christ, even as God loves them, gave his life for them. What purpose is it if you and I are not willing to lay our lives down for the cause of Christ, what he laid his life down for? We spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of involvement in the world, but how much time are we involving our energy and our time, our mind, our gifts that God has given us, investing it into the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ? Because I'm guarantee you, people, the only thing that's going to last eternally is what you've done for Christ. Not what you've done for your boss to get yourself up the ladder. Not what you've done to get people to pat you on the back and think you're a good person. Not what you've done for your own glory and your own benefit. Only that which you've done for the glory of God and for the benefit of the kingdom. And that naturally then will benefit other people. It has a natural aspect of benefiting other people. Before our Lord ascended back to heaven, in our text today, he gave to the church, he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers for a purpose of equipping the saints for the work of service. These men were not given into the role of leadership to, as it would be, do the work of the body of Christ. They have been given in the kingdom of God for the purpose of getting the church to work. Getting individual members of the body involved in serving one another, and ultimately, as a body, we would serve the needs of the world. We would meet the needs of the world through the preaching of the gospel and taking care of the poor and doing all the other things that we know is a part of what Jesus did. My Bible tells me that Jesus went about doing good. He was involved in that. That was his life. That was who he was. If God is good, then the body of Christ ought to be involved. Not sitting home, watching their TVs, not doing their hobbies, not doing this. We ought to be out in our communities and in the world that is lost, doing something to manifest the will and the purpose and the glory of God. We ought to be out there, rubbing shoulders with people who are hurting, who are lost, who have nothing to eat. I mean, aspects of it. While I was hungry, you fed me, Jesus said. While I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came and you visited me. When I was sick, on and on and on, he said that. Well, Lord, when did we do this to you? Well, when you did it unto one of the least of these people out there in the world, they're all God's creation. They're all part of God's eternal plan. Jesus died for them just as much as He died for you and me. He really did. He really did. I mean, if Jesus Christ would walk into your home with dirty feet and ask you to wash your feet, what would your attitude be? What would your attitude be if Jesus literally walked into your life and asked you to wash His feet and you knew it was the Lord? What would your attitude be if He knocked on your door and He said to you, "I'm thirsty"? What would your attitude be when you went and got a glass of water? Because the Bible talks about just giving someone a glass of water. What would your attitude be? What would your attitude be, too, if somebody and you knew that your next-door neighbors got burnt out and all their clothes perished? What would your attitude be if you knew that was the Lord's house that was burnt down and He was there without any... What would your attitude be? How would you approach? How would you give, willingly, clothes to that family? You understand what I'm trying to say today? Jesus said, as much as you do it unto these, you're doing it unto me. There are several keys to this work of service. Number one is, I believe the most important key is that you understand that God has not asked you to come into the ministry and the work of service in and of and by your own strength. He hasn't asked you to do anything that He's not going to empower you to do. You understand what I just said? Jesus did not come and do what He did in and of His own power. He made that very plain. The things that I do, the things that I accomplish, I do it through the power and the strength of Him who sent me. Isn't that what He said? Didn't He say that? He said, "The words that I speak are not my words, they're the words of Him who sent me." Isn't that what He said? So if Jesus Christ knew, the Son of God knew, that what He was doing was through the power of His Father in heaven and not of His own strength, what about you and me? You really think God is going to call us into a ministry of service for Him that He Himself is not going to empower us and give us the strength to do? We can come up with all kinds of excuses and reason why I can't be in the work of ministry, but there are none. There are none. Are you listening? The fundamental principle of the work of service is in 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11, Peter says, "Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified." Didn't Jesus come to glorify the Father? Isn't that what He came? Jesus said, "If you're not going to believe on Me, you know, in the aspect," then He says, "and believe on Me for my work's sake." You see, the church needs to recognize that there's no way the world's going to identify us as being the body of Christ until they see us again being that body that's out there making a difference in people's lives to the good. If I do not do the works of My Father, He said, do not believe Me. But if I do them, understand that the Father is in Me and I am in the Father. Is not God in us? Are we not in the Father? Then has not God asked us and called us into ministry? And the aspects of doing that with this promise that what we do not do it in and of ourselves through our own strength, abilities, and talent. We do it through the strength that God gives us. He's empowered us through the Holy Spirit. In John 14:10, "Do not believe that I'm in the Father and the," he says, "do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own initiative, but the Father abiding in Me does His work." Does His work. You see, the only way God's ministry, God's work is going to be done is through this new living organism beginning on Pentecost that permeated the world called the body of Christ, over which he is the head. That's the only way God's work is going to be done. It's not going to be done through the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club. It's not going to be done by the political powers of this world. In fact, they're adverse to God. The only way God's work is going to be done is there are people, individual members of the church, eyes and ears and people committed to one another, to serve one another in love, but take the whole body, bringing it together through the power of God's Spirit, unified in the Spirit of God, to go out there and make a difference in the world in which we live in today. Okay? We do it by God's strength. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." You understand that? God is in you to accomplish his will and his purpose, to accomplish his work, and it's taking place inside of you as individual members. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." We would participate in them. We would agree with them. We would bring our will into harmony. And before the foundation of the world was even laid, God had an elect people. He saw a people that he himself would create on the face of this earth, in and through his Son, empowering them through the Spirit, working and transforming their lives. He would transform them into the very body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. I believe the church has lost its identity of who it really is. You're dead. You don't live any longer. It's Christ who lives in you, supposedly. We got to remember that your purpose and my purpose is to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So don't forget principle number one. We are in a work of ministry that God himself commits himself and promises that he will give us the strength to accomplish. Doesn't matter what it is, God will empower you and strengthen you to do it. He really will. And secondly, the key that he is and must be, is that what we do, okay, as I've already made reference to it, you're not doing it as unto men. Anything and everything the body of Christ does is and should be to do it as unto the Lord. Period. We are doing it for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. Doesn't matter what you do within the kingdom, whatever you're doing it as if you were doing it unto the Lord. Colossians 3:22-23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Amen? Let's remember that. Let's remember that. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 6, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, notice, heartily, doing the will of God from the heart, he says, with good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or whether free. So what did he say? Everything we do, whether we eat, sleep, drink, whatever it is we do it as unto the Lord. Doesn't that make a difference in our attitude? Again, if we know that everything I'm doing, I'm not doing it for the church as people. I'm doing it as the church represents and is the body of Christ. Therefore, I'm doing it unto the Lord. Right? I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And so again, as you think of that aspect of it, Jesus said, as much as you do it unto the least of these, you're doing it unto me. Okay? Number one principle. God is going to empower us and give us the strength to do the work of ministry. Number two, whatever it is we do, we are going to do it as unto the Lord, not unto men, right? I'm not looking for a pat on the back. God's going to reward me someday. And I don't want to miss that one. You see, I want to hear these words, well done, right? Well done. Lastly, thirdly, the key, you cannot serve God in manna. You cannot serve God and yourself at the same time. Either you're going to hate the one or you're going to love the other, okay? I mean, you can't do it. There's no way you can do it. And so many people today are doing what they're doing only for personal gain, for their own glory, for their own name, for their own benefit, and having people recognize them. And I guarantee you, when that's the attitude these people have, sooner or later, pride is coming. And then that pride comes the fall. They'll fall flat on their face. Preachers are falling flat on their face. People are falling flat on their face all over the place simply because. And I guarantee you, there isn't a person that is in political power today that can defy God in any way, shape, or form, that sooner or later, God will bring them down. He's done it in the past. He's been faithful in the past. Nations rise, nation falls. People rise, people fall. Because God will only extend it to the point it's now adverse to His eternal will. And when it's adverse to His will, I guarantee you, those men, people in power that are letting Satan use them, they'll never stand against God nor His kingdom. You can be a positive of that. Pride always comes before the fall. No ifs and ands about it. And so Luke 16:13, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other." Okay? No question about it. There's a lot of people today, even within the church, that hate God and hate Jesus. Because all they want is their own glory, and they only want the self-satisfaction. And the church is an easy way to do it. You know that, don't you? Huh? You know that, don't you? All you got to do is watch TV evangelists today. Watch them if you want to. I watch them once in a while just to see what they're doing. And I'm guarantee you that is nothing more than to their own self-glory and to their own prestige and getting a name out there and everything else. I just hope and trust that none of you have sent them any seed money. I hope you know better than that. But in Romans 12:1, this is what Paul said to the church. "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. This is your spiritual service of worship." What is my worship to God? What is my spiritual worship to God? It's giving to Him, submitting to Him my life, my body, my mind, my heart as a living sacrifice, not a dead one, alive, holy, acceptable. That's my spiritual worship. You're here today to be encouraged to make that presentation. The Greek word is in the present tense. That means it's a continuous, ongoing presentation. You didn't just make your presentation once. And Paul, I believe if you study the book of Romans, right, they made that presentation back in Romans 6. When they were baptized, buried with Christ in baptism, and rose with Him. Because he goes on and talks about to whomever you present yourself, to that one you became a slave. If you present yourself to the flesh, you become a slave of the flesh. But if you presented yourself to God, you become a slave of the Lord. Then he goes and continues the process. And then in chapter 11, he's begging the Gentile world not to follow the pattern of the natural branch that God cut off because of their unbelief. And he's encouraging them that if God can cut the natural branch off, don't you ever think that he can't cut the unnatural branch off. Therefore, I beg you, I plead with you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is the Greek word. He's begging them. He's pleading with them to make that presentation and continue it. How about you? Have you made that presentation? Is your life a sacrifice? Have you laid your all on the altar? Have you really given your life and your heart and your mind to God? Is there still parts of you that you're still serving yourself, the world, and the part of you? I think my Lord said it this way. Seek first the kingdom. Put the kingdom priority. The kingdom of God is the church. It's the body of Christ. I guess a lot of people don't understand that. Well, I'll go and be a part of the body and be with the body when I feel like it. But I don't feel like it today. On and on and on and on. You cannot actively be saving God if you're not serving the body of Christ. I know I'm being tough today. But I'm telling you, people, I don't know how long the Lord is going to tarry. But I do know this. He's coming back for His body. And I know this, that I need to be actively involved in building up that body. And he gave leadership to the church to equip you, to help you to do that. How do I equip you? How do I do that? The Greek word equip comes from the Greek background of the mending of a net. Jesus said the church is like a net cast out into the sea, and it has holes. And when the holes come, the purpose is to mend the holes. And the church is that net that's cast out into the sea. And the purpose of leadership is to make sure the kingdom, the church, is fulfilling its God-given purpose. And that's to draw people to Christ. The separation will take place at the judgment day. But our purpose is to bring people to Christ. To preach the gospel. To offer them salvation. And when the holes come, the elders, the deacons, the teachers are to equip. Mend the net. Mend the net. Mend the net. Build people up. Encourage them. Why? So they be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along, by the scheming and the deceitfulness of men, but that we would be actively involved in the building. Every joint, every member, supplying to one another, building up one another in love. Now what it said? Okay, well, how do you equip the church? Oh, well, that's simple. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for correcting, for instructing, and building up the man of God in righteousness. Why? So that he can be fully equipped for the work of service. This is what mends the net. My responsibility, the elders' responsibility, teachers' responsibility, is to preach and teach the word. This is the sewing needle that mends the church and puts it together. It's the Word of God. It's not me. It's the Word of God. If we preach the Word, I believe that God will mend the net. I just really, truly believe that. And out of that, we'll build and come a body of people who are serving one another, building up one another, encouraging one another, and the only way you're going to fall in love with people is by being with them. You know that? I fell in love with Marilyn, but I didn't. I know there's popo-phasing people out there that fell in love by writing letters or whatever, but I didn't. I fell in love by being with her. Okay? And the more I spent with her, the more I love her. You see, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And the more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows because the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I don't know if you really know the aspect of that, but that is true. It really is. I want you to think about it a moment in closing this morning. Key number one is God's going to give you the strength and the power, right? Key number two is what you do, and whatever you do, don't do it for yourself. Do it as unto the Lord. Key number three, you can't serve God and the world and manna and flesh, and you can't do it. You're either going to hate one or you're going to love the other, right? But let's suppose for a moment. One day, when you are in heaven, someone will come up to you and thank you for the way you touched their life with hope and encouragement. The person's word may take you by surprise. Soon another person will seek you out, then another and another. And as you listen to each story, you will begin to discover all the ways that God used your life when you were completely unaware of it. You will find that it was not only through the big things that you did, but also through the small things that you said. Spoken words that was not planned, spontaneous acts of kindness, a loving attitude, or a simple prayer of concern. To your joy, you will discover that in all these ways and more, God used you to deposit an eternal measure of his love into the hearts of needy people. Touch somebody's life. Touch people's lives. Touch their lives. Make a difference in the world you live in today. Become actively a part of the body of Christ and let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. But never forget our purpose. Our purpose is to preach the good news of God. To bring people to the cross, that they may have the same hope that you and I have, and spend eternity with us someday. Don't you want to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Labor Day. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk about all of His wondrous works that He has done. Because someday the roll is going to call up yonder. And when that roll is called up yonder, I want to be there, right? You want to be there? Yes, I want to be there. And I want to hear the words, well done. Let's stand together. We're going to sing it.